You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. I'm Paula Gwen Grant. Glad you are joining us on today's program. We're taking a look at the year in review for CCRTD, the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. Our guests include CCRTD Director Dr. Shafiq Khan, also the CCRTD Director of Community Outreach and Research Scientist, Dr. Kimberly Davis. Also joining us, Dr. Valerie Odero-Mara, a CCRTD molecular biologist. And you, we need you to join the conversation with your questions about cancer research and all the advancements that have been made in cancer. Maybe you have a question when it comes to what we are working on here at Clark Atlanta University at the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development. Your calls are welcome now at 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. Or you're welcome to join us and ask your questions on Twitter at CCRTD. Dr. Valerie Odero-Mara, you focus as a molecular biologist. You told us a little bit about your work and what you're looking at specifically, and we loved what you're doing in terms of research. But tell us a little bit about what else you're responsible for there at CCRTD. You are in charge of making sure that all the research scientists there have the equipment they need to do their work. Can you talk to us about that?
That's right. I'm in charge of the research core. So I'm the assistant director for the research infrastructure core. All that means is to make sure that the researchers have the equipment they need to use. And if we don't have it, we find a way to get it for them to use. So because research needs a lot of different equipment. So over the years, we've obtained equipment from Georgia Research Alliance and other areas. And so we've been able to successfully do our research. All the publications we get is because we're able to do the research. So for example, we've managed to get like a $500,000 equipment that is able to stain or look at different proteins in patient tissue. And we've also, with Title III funds, we've just had a animal facility built so we can do animal research right here at Clark Atlanta, because before we had to go to Morehouse to do it.
Oh, I see.
So now we can do it right here. It's about to be open, so that we're very excited about that. We have state-of-the-art equipment there too. And then we're also part of Georgia Research Alliance. And with Georgia Research Alliance, there's 8 different universities that have signed an agreement so we can use any of the equipment at the other universities, including Emory, Georgia Tech, University of Georgia, Mercer University. So if we don't have anything here, we have access to those equipment. So we don't lack anything. So that's exciting for
us
too.
Powerful collaboration. Dr. Khan, it must be exciting to be able to access all that you need, but yet you have so much on site that it really empowers you to do the work here.
Yeah, I think we have been very, very lucky because we got a whole lot of support from Georgia Research Alliance because we have been a member, and they have supported over the last 12, 15 years. I came as a Georgia Research Alliance Eminent Scholar, so that has been one of the reasons that they have been supporting the center in terms of equipment.
And that equipment, you know, there are students that are listening. There are those who work in other fields who listen to Your Health Connection here. And should they be drawn to research? Are you always looking for those who want to step into this area? Are you needing more research scientists?
Definitely. We're always looking for good students. We're looking for good postdocs. And of course, we, as I said, we hired 11 scientists, too, and they're all working. You know, Valerie and I are one of 11. So
that's
two of 11.
So you always need more. Dr. Kimberly Davis, when you're out in the community, you know, and folks are asking you what CCRTD is about, do you talk to them about considering research research careers? Are you always trying to attract new scientists when you're out in the field and sharing information at health fairs, for example?
Oh, definitely. We're committed to providing prostate cancer information. So anyone who approaches us, you know, we're always open to providing information about the cancer center and what we do and how we service the community.
And that's really powerful because it's about serving the community. When you're listening here to Your Health Connection, this program exists so that the research science that is coming out of the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development is usable for us as consumers. That's really our goal. We talk a lot on the show each month as we handle different aspects or different types of cancer. We often talked about how, you know, almost everything we seem to touch as consumers, you know, this seems to be linked to some type of cancer. If the shampoos have parabens and the food has this or that kind of oil it was cooked in, or, you know, as consumers, it can be confusing. And we talked about how there's such a popularity of social media use. How is social media taking part in the research and helping you disseminate information, Dr. Davis?
So we actively use social media not only for community outreach, but to make the community aware of what's going on in the center, whether it be a seminar series or if a faculty is speaking at a conference. Our Twitter is very active. It's at CCRTD, and also our Instagram at CAUCCRTD. And if you look at our social media handles, you're able to see what we're doing in the community and in the science community as well.
Which is powerful because, you know, when you talk about the science community, making science attractive, especially to students of all ages, because, you know, folks don't think of science like they used to. And I think, Dr. Valerie, that is something that, mm-hmm. that your work really is touching when you're talking about what are your outcomes.
Right, right. So, yeah, so we're always trying to train the next generation of scientists. So when we do graduate students, like Dr. Khan said, we graduated 5 this year, and they go on to get really good jobs. So that's another thing. If you come to us, you'll get good jobs. So like,
that's always a good one.
So like,
that's true.
Like next week, I'm traveling to California and I'm going to give a talk at Cedars-Sinai. So what my last graduate student is actually there doing her postdoctoral research at Cedars-Sinai. Ah. The other ones go to Emory University. We have quite a number of them there. So they have good options when they come to us.
Two of our students are actually now working at St. Jude and doing research there at the Cancer Center.
So that is such a feather in the cap of CCRTD that, you know, from spending time here and contributing to the research that's changing the world, the students and the scientists go on to other great things in mm-hmm. their careers.
That's right.
And that's powerful for all those listening to Your Health Connection now who are thinking, research, I actually am curious. And I know as we listen to past shows here on Your Health Connection, you often have featured students who are doing just that. They're coming through CCRTD, bringing some curiosity about an aspect of cancer, whether it's prevention or coming up with some sort of treatment and a cure. And we talked a lot on Your Health Connection this year, as we look at it in review, about prevention. And Dr. Khan, what are some general tips, some things that you advise? You were on the September show about prostate cancer. You contribute to each show in terms of research and preparation so we know how to discuss each type of cancer. What are some preventative measures we can take as consumers?
Well, I think that's a little bit of a hard question to answer.
Okay.
Because one component of cancer is genetics. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of the things you can prevent, but if there is some bad genes or something is not right in the genetics, that will show up in the form of a disease. Mm-hmm. So if there are some genes which can cause cancer and they are mutated or they're defective, then we don't want people to get the idea that if you do the exercise and eat right and you won't get sick. Because there is a possibility that you will still have issues.
But
prevention is generally what we were talking about: nutrition.
Yes.
We were talking about exercise. We were talking about having a good lifestyle. So those things can prevent or at least delay the mm-hmm. disease. Mm-hmm. But as I said, we shouldn't get comfortable with that because, you know, if genetics plays a big role in cancer development.
Absolutely. Every survivor that we had on each show for Your Health Connection spoke about that. They spoke of having the nutrition and the exercise, being in the best health they could be in at the time of diagnosis, helped with the treatment.
Yeah.
And certainly helping them cope with chemotherapy, radiation, and all that they were going through, even psychologically, through their treatment, and certainly got them on the other side and into a better place.
Yeah, no, and then you meet some survivors who say, you know, I lived a healthy life, I ate healthy, I did exercise, I I did a lived a pure life. But why did I get a cancer?
Yeah, sure,
and,
sure.
And you say, you know, it's not you.
Right, it's genetics.
It's genetics.
So people, and this was something that we repeatedly touched on in the year here on Your Health Connection, being predisposed to cancer, prostate cancer, and other types of cancers. And Dr. Khan, you did talk about that quite a bit, genetics, the role of genetics. When folks hear cancer, you know, that is something a lot of folks, we even see celebrities now trying to take preventive measures by even identifying the genes that they might carry that predispose them to a certain type of cancer.
Yeah, I mean, we know for some cancers, like ovarian cancer and breast cancer, you know, you have heard about BRCA1 gene.
That's right,
And those are the ones, you know, people who know Angelina Jolie, they mm-hmm. know that, you know, she got mastectomy.
Right.
Radical because she may get that cancer. So you can find those, if you have those genes, you know, your risk of getting a cancer is much higher.
Sure.
But in terms of prostate cancer, you know, we don't have that one gene. There are a few genes that we know that they might increase your risk, but the work is not very clear about that yet. So I think that but genetics is important, and mm-hmm. also even when people are exposed to radiation or some chemicals.
Yes.
And you know, they can go and they can do damage to your DNA and they can cause genetic changes which can lead to cancer.
Which is something you see, Dr. Valerie, in your research. How are genetics playing a part in what you're looking at the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic okay. Development?
So, for example, the two genes I'm looking at, two different proteins I'm looking at, that I find them to be higher in African Americans versus Caucasians. And more interesting, they're already high even in normal tissue, which is unusual. So what it's telling us is, do African Americans already express these proteins even at a normal level? May that predispose them to cancer more than Caucasian Americans? So for me, that's a genetic link mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. we're looking at versus environmental. Because sometimes you have the genes, but the environment might push you over the edge.
And that's
edge.
What Dr. Khan's saying. You could be in an environment where there are contributors that now affect your genes.
Exactly.
And that's something we don't think of as regular folks. You know, we don't think of this, but then we later read studies of folks who lived in certain communities where there was, you know, railroad track or certain other right. allergens or contaminants, if you will, in the air mm-hmm. and in the water.
Well,
in the
yeah, water. One of the biggest examples is smoking.
I mean, yes.
If you know, if you go back to the turn of the 20th century, 1900, mm-hmm. beginning of 1900s, lung cancer was a rare disease until people started smoking cigarettes.
Yes.
And then it became number one killer. And now, of course, you know, it's declining because
it's not fashionable to smoke now, and that marketing had a lot
so
to do
that
with it.
That's mm-hmm. that's an example of an environmental factor
that makes sense
causing cancer, and you know, people who were exposed to radiation in Chernobyl and other mm-hmm. places, you mm-hmm. know that they a lot of those were diagnosed with cancers later on.
Dr. Davis, genetics, when you're doing community outreach and sharing information, and you spoke of the registry where male patients, current and survivors, can contact the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development to sign on to the registry, what time and what attention do you give to genetics?
Well, specifically with the registry, we look at their epidemiological profile. Mm-hmm. And that includes demographic and some socioeconomic issues, profiles. But we also look at their clinical disease information. And so all of that is included in.
And what do you see there? Because we as folks don't realize the ties there. Is there some tie when you're looking at that? What are some of the patterns, I suppose, that you're looking for?
With prostate cancer, we look at some of the things that we see is the type of grade. Mm-hmm. A lot of the survivors have reported that they have the same grade of prostate cancer. So I'm not sure whether we'll have to look at it more closely to mm-hmm. see whether it's a genetic factor or if it's just it might be a regional factor.
Right.
So
other contributing things, but
right.
those are the patterns you're looking at when you collect that data.
Right.
And that's what's so valuable about the registry. It allows us to take a snapshot and compare exact details as opposed to general comparisons, as you know, we see general health articles and so forth. The number here is 404-880-9255 with your questions. We're looking and listening to some of the facts and accomplishments and things we have learned here on Your Health Connection over this past year. If you've had a cancer experience, if you've learned something by listening to Your Health Connection over this year, we'd love for you to share what it is that you've learned and perhaps what sent you to your doctor to have some positive outcome with your health. Your Health Connection is here on WCLK, and it is really a service of the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development here at Clark Atlanta University. And we've talked a lot. Each show was about a different type of cancer. We observed the months where those cancers are looked at closely, like in September, prostate cancer awareness month, in October, certainly breast cancer awareness month. And we do our best on this program on Your Health Connection to bring you information you can really use, information you can take to your doctor. And we featured quite a few doctors that would come on to Your Health Connection and share the questions you should ask doctors. You know, how should you interact with your doctor? What are the things that you should do to feel empowered as a patient? Dr. Khan, at the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development, do you have a lot of medical doctors in practice also looking at the research and using what you come up with here at the Cancer Research Center?
Well, of course, we don't have any medical doctors working.
Right, but do they work in partner
center,
with your partnership?
We do partner with them.
Great.
I think a couple of things we need, of course, patient materials or patient samples to confirm what we find in the labs and see whether that's happening in the patients as well. So in that respect, we work with the doctors, mm-hmm. and we try to collaborate. But, of course, the knowledge we are creating, that the hope is that knowledge will become one day clinically relevant.
Yes, so because you're doing the research. We want it to be at our doctor's offices when we show up as patients.
Yes. So what you want to do is to discover things that people can later on use to develop drugs and treat those patients. So that's the idea.
And it's a great idea, and we're grateful for the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. They are the ones that put this show together and have for you here for 10 years on WCLK. You are listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. This announcement, in the interest of public health, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. When it comes to a man's waist, size does matter. Men who are overweight are more likely to be diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer and more likely to have a recurrence of the disease after treatment. Gradually ease into changing your eating habits. Start by always leaving a little extra on your plate or drinking water instead of soda. Aim for behavior change goals that you know you will be able to maintain over the years, not just weeks. Talk to your doctor about it. More information is available at ccrtd.cau.edu.